to this edition of the No Big Two Comic Review. I am Adam Buccafusco. Joined with me today is Sequoia Winston of Geeks Who Drink and Capital Comics. And this is our end of 2014, I guess beginning of 2015, kind of review wrap-up of the comics of the year. Welcome to it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, as always.
We are recording for the first time ever before noon. It is approximately 10:15 a.m. on a Sunday. This is a different pace for us. We are all full of greasy Taco Bell breakfast, and we're about to get our chat on about some comics. See how this bodes for us.
I'm not used to waking up.
This is early.
Yeah, like I mean, I'm probably just now waking up to be at the store at 11:30 on a Sunday. This, I don't know.
Let's see how this one goes. We were at a wedding expo yesterday at the fairgrounds, and there was a lot of free cake and a lot of free booze, and still kind of nursing that one. I had a sugar overload, I guess, and still trying to wake up a little bit. So, yeah, anyway, comics, that's why you guys tuned in, right? This episode is brought to you by HeroesHideaway.com, H-E-R-O-S, Hideaway.com for collectibles, figures, comics, all that stuff. Check it out. They are a small, independently owned company. What do you got to lose? Check them out. Or not. Or yes. We'll see.
That's a shining endorsement.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. So, 2014 has come and gone. We had a lot of great new books coming out from, you know, those publishers that aren't Marvel and DC, even though they had their own great books as well. We're going to spend the next couple, I don't know, minutes talking about some of those books that came out from publishers like Image, IDW, Dark Horse. I'm sure there's thousands of brilliant, even more independent books that came out. Unfortunately, we don't have a list of those in front of us. So was there anything that really stuck out to you, Sequoia, in 2014?
I'd say for me personally, I think 2014 was a very great year for comic books in general, mainstream and independent. I'd say for myself personally, I went into the year with the conscious decision of purposely buying more comics with female leads, which is something I hadn't really done in previous years. And I also found more stuff with female leads that I actually liked. And I think the other thing, I also made the decision that, especially, you know, particularly for the independent titles or the smaller press books, I was going to buy, you know, monthly copies as opposed to trade waiting.
Right.
So, that was my MO for the year. And there's a lot of stuff I enjoyed, you know.
Cool. I know one of those books that you're referring to with a really great breakout female lead. Did you get around to Copperhead?
No, I did not get to read Copperhead.
If you are into Western style comics, I would say if we have categories, which I did not write out categories of like best of, so, but I would say Western style, Copperhead was probably one of the best ones, to come out. I believe that's from Image Comics.
Yeah, it is.
The art in it is fantastic. It's a sci-fi Western, which is, you know, usually kind of one of my favorite genres, things like Firefly and whatnot. Mm. But they really downplay the sci-fi. The story, the meat and potatoes, the character interaction is very much that of a Western. Mm. The fact that her, you know, Deputy Shepherd just happens to be like a Wookiee type character is kind of, you kind of forget about it. It's just that's the environment in which they painted this Western. So I would totally recommend Copperhead.
Well, Image was real good on the sci-fi front this year. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that they were putting out, like what was it, Drifter, and what was it, Matt Fraction's Odyssey. But the book that really stood out for me from Image with female lead was Lazarus by Greg Rucka. That was probably my one of my favorite books that they were putting out. I don't like it because, you know, I've been really digging some sort of near future sci-fi dystopian fiction. And that, it, you know, I like it because a lot of the stuff that sets up the story of Lazarus, you know, kind of correlates with things that were going on last year, like the whole aftermath of the Occupy Wall Street movement, just this fear of the 1% and how they're ruining the lives of the other 99% of the world, and how, you know, this book pretty much posits the idea that you know, after the world's economies and governments collapse, that the 1% mold the world into a new neo fiefdom, and that, you know, there's a new new class system about, and like I said, it's a very entertaining book. It's got, like, you know, some soap opera-ish characteristics. Like, I think that's the thing that draws me. It's like just this constant ongoing, it's not even really the action that gets me with that book. It's just the constant melodrama that builds from issue to issue. That's what I really enjoy. And, you know, sometimes every once in a while in the book, they'll shift from the main character, Forever Carlisle, to like this this group, this one family of, I guess they would be considered the lower class, the waste of that world. And I've enjoyed that. And I hope Rucka this year gets back to telling the story of that family in the book. But really enjoyed Lazarus. That's nice. Been one of my favorites.
Was there any horror books that stuck out to you this year?
Caliban by Garth Ennis from Avatar Press was my favorite horror comic this year. It was Garth Ennis basically doing his take on sci-fi horror in the vein of Alien. But the whole premise is the Caliban was just this, I guess, spacefaring ship. Merges, crashes into, fuses with this alien spacecraft while in, you know, I guess the term would be what, hyperspeed or warp speed or whatever. And they're two ships fused together, and the crew has to explore this alien structure. And all the while they're being picked off one by one by some alien being. But that was a great horror comic. I really enjoy that a lot.
I'm going through Colder Bad Seed, and I started that one this year. I did not realize there was a whole volume that came out prior to that, so yeah. I actually downloaded that for like $2.99 on the Kindle, and I'm going through the first one. I have never read something that kind of freaked me out as much as Colder. I got a thing in horror movies and genres and stuff. When bad things happen to small appendages, i.e. like toes. The
fingers?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. So in Bad Seed, Colder Bad Seed, there's this just Waker-looking man. Kind of reminds me of Kane from Poltergeist, which if you listen to a previous episode, you'll find that Poltergeist is also one of those things that just gets to me. He's going around just chopping people's fingers off.
Right.
And he just walks around town just chopping people. Like, and he's playing up this idea that he's harvesting them. Like, you know, as if like he's a Quaker and a farmer, and it's, you know, that season. And, you know, he incorporates the fingers into his malicious being. And he's got this potted plant that he's planted, this seed of that is just building up throughout the issue or the books. And you've yet to figure out, like, what his scheme is. I think we're on issue 3, and he's still just holding the pot, and you're just waiting for something to come out of there. And you know it's going to be bad. Like, as bad as this dude is, chopping off, you know, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, little kids, fingers. Like, as bad as he is, whatever's in that pot is worse than him. And you're just, the whole time, you're just waiting to find out what that thing is. It's an intense book. It is definitely not a beginner's comic by any means.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you have any comedy or humorous comics that you got into this year?
I was continuing Sex Criminals.
Of course, yeah.
Which I think came out, started last year. Matt Fraction, Chip Zdarsky. That was a lot of fun. It's going in a direction I didn't foresee it going. I kind of always assumed it was supposed to be a miniseries.
Mm, me too. Yeah.
But it seems to be an ongoing, and they must have some kind of future plan with where Sex Criminals is going to go. The premise for those listening who may be interested is a fella and a lady find out that when they have intercourse and achieve happy times, they are able to stop time. They go into a different zone in which everything freezes, and then they go and rob banks to help save a privately funded library. So, I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of it. Adult humor is not for kids.
Not at all.
Actually, the last two comics we just, or three comics we mentioned are not for kids.
That's the price you pay when you read independent.
Yeah. You get a little more liberties with independent titles. What about you? Anything?
I was going to say Sex Criminals was probably my favorite humor mm-hmm. book this year. Because that was something I was kind of bemoaning, was that, you know, you don't really get to read. I don't get to read much anymore with good adult humor. You know, but in the past, I was always into Soft Boy by Archer Pruitt and... Evan Dorkin, his book, Dork. You never read that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Dork, particularly the Eltingville, comic book fantasy sci-fi club. It's just a really mean-spirited look at comic book fandom, and it hits real close to home a lot, man. And it's kind of painful to read sometimes because it's like, you know, I've seen tendencies in those characters in myself. But he recently, I ran into him at a convention a number of years ago and asked him when he was going to collect all his Eltingville stories. And he said that he had one more mini series that he was going to do, and then he was going to wrap it all up. And he put out the first issue of this Eltingville miniseries, which is supposed to be just two parts, but I hadn't seen this. He's putting out through Dark Horse.
Right.
And he hadn't put out the second issue yet, but that was probably the other humor comic that I really enjoyed in 2014. But other than that, man, it's just been kind of a dearth of humor books.
I agree with that idea. And I got a list here from Comic Buyer Resource, CBR. Of the top 100, and kind of pulling from that lack of humor, what was not on the list was Goon, surprisingly. And Goon came out with a 4-issue miniseries from Eric Powell, Dark Horse. And though it's Goon in the sense of the action and the film noir kind of rough and tough writing style of it, there was little to no humor in this miniseries of Goon, right. Which is one of the characteristics of the Goon series, is that it's really zany and has moments that, you know, leave you kind of laughing and stuff like that. I wonder, and, you know, it's not like Eric Powell's here to ask him, but I wonder what was with the switch in tone. Is this something that's been going on in Goon for years and I'm just now noticing it? But it seems to lack the humor element.
Well, this is the first time doing any Goon stuff in a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, so I'm hoping, you know, there'll be more humor comics, adult humor comics on the horizon. But, you know, I found a few in 2014. Now I know this is the
you can talk Marvel, DC. Who do you want to talk about?
Well, see, I just feel I made this list of things just to remind myself it, of...
don't let the title pigeonhole
don't
you.
Don't be intimidated. but, I mean, I guess in general, you know, we've talked humor, horror.
What was your favorite pure just action adventure story? I could give you a couple examples off this list.
I've got my list
here.
I got my list. my favorite action comic of last year was Moon Knight.
Really?
Yes.
From Marvel?
Yes. particularly the Warren Ellis, mm-hmm. Was it Declan Shalvey? I can't pronounce his last name. I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure. Their 6-issue run was spectacular, particularly issue 5 of that book. I mean, the whole run is great, and I recommend anybody, if you're listening to this, pick up that first trade. I think it's From the Dead. Mm-hmm. But issue number 5, man, which I feel was kind of an homage to The Raid. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think it was that movie from, was it Thailand or Sri Lanka? Not Sri Lanka.
I know what movie you're referring to.
You know, the one with the cops in the apartment building. Basically, the movie that a lot of folks accuse Dredd of ripping off.
Right, right.
But that issue was sort of an homage to that film, as well as, did you ever see the Protector with Tony Jaa?
No.
You take it or leave it, but there's a scene in that movie where he's trying to get, it's almost like a video game, like Double Dragon, but like he's running up this long staircase in like this nightclub or whatever, and he's just whooping the ass of any guy that happens to meet him on the staircase. And it's one continuous shot of him just beating up people,
oh, awesome.
Going up like 4 or 5, you know, flights of stairs, like nonstop. And that's basically what this issue of Moon Knight is, man. But I think that book was just brilliant. I'm liking the current stuff that Brian Wood is writing. But yeah, Moon Knight was probably my standout action comic of 2014. What about you?
You know, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but I love Saga. I'm enjoying Saga from Image Comics, Brian K. Vaughan.
You think of that as action?
I mean, what else would you call it? I would say it's more adventure than action.
Okay, yeah.
Which, I mean, it's kind of, you almost feel like you're splitting hairs, but it is an adventure story of a, you know, new family trying to find their place in the galaxy. Fiona Staples, I had the fortune of meeting her back in November. Her artwork is stellar. It's beautiful. The story writing transcends gender. Women love this book. Men love this book. It's just, it's a great read. I think it's going to continue and keep going pretty strong. I know the 4th volume just came out in trade paperback. And if you're interested, you can start picking them up and reading them pretty much anywhere now. So I don't know. I would say that there's other things that I also, once again, there's IDW with the Wild Blue Yonder series. Mm. And I mean, they're coming out with like one issue every 6 months at this point. And I think it's finishing up, but that final issue, it's been 3 or 4 months in between. So those guys, I believe they like do a Kickstarter just to get each book out.
Yeah.
But the art is amazing. The story is great. I'm always impressed by every issue of Wild Blue Yonder I pick up. And that one is straight up action, you know, in a world where you can't land on the planet anymore. Everybody takes to the skies. Everyone's living in airplanes. It's very, Rocketeer-esque. It's very Firefly-esque. I totally dig that series.
Now, let me ask you, what was your breakout hit? Like the book that really surprised you? Like the one that you may have not heard about, or like you heard about and you're like, man, this ain't gonna be worth nothing.
That I just picked up and
yeah.
I don't know. Part of me wants to say it was that colder book, because I read the first one, I was just not expecting that. Mm. Let me look at my list here. Let me pose a question to you and then I can come up with an answer. Same question.
Okay.
Breakout hit.
The stuff that really surprised me this year was Archie mm-hmm. Comics as a whole, between the whole death of Archie and how sweet and poignant that was. I was really surprised by that. Archie has really emerged. I don't know if a lot of people are aware about this, but I want people to know, but like Archie's as a publisher is poised to do some pretty big things in the upcoming years. But, I mean, the stuff that surprised me kind of stretches back past 2014, between you know, them doing the Life with Archie comic, in which, you know, it's sort of a split alternate universe. In one, he marries Betty, and the other one, he marries Veronica, and it's a look at what his life would be like, and just the adult nature of the stories, and not, you know, anything like, you know, real inappropriate, but like just some of the themes they tackle, like, you know, I think Moose becomes like a politician and gets embroiled in some kind of scandal. A couple of characters like die from cancer. Kevin Keller, that comic taking off, you know, them introducing a gay comic book character and him having his own book, and it actually does pretty well.
And the darker side of Sabrina, right?
Yes, that stuff, the afterlife with Archie, and the, I think, the chilling stories of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. The two Archie horror comics were really surprising and very well done. But then, you know, going into next year, you know, you've got that relaunch of Archie with Fiona Staples and Mark Waid. And I'm really looking forward to that, as right. well as potentially that Archie television show. But yeah, Archie's been the thing that really surprised me.
So you put
me.
Your stock into Archie? Bye.
I don't know about that, but I will sing its praises. And that was something I probably would have never been willing to say about those books or that mm-hmm. company, you know, because it's always been stuck in this, you know, 50s Americana. But I mean, Archie's always managed to change with the times.
This is true. It's weird. Every time I go to like a flea market or, you know, a comic shop and I see like a small kid going through comics, 9 out of 10 times they're asking for Archie.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day. And what's weird to me is I didn't grow up reading Archie. I guess I thought of it as like Happy Days, kind of like not really edgy enough for me while I was watching, you know, Batman, the animated series and things like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like I missed like, I don't know, what, 3-4 decades worth of Archie comics. Like it didn't appeal to me. Right. So like the fact that I can see a 9-year-old ask for Archie and that kid has a jump on point. And knows, for whatever reason, like, I don't need to collect every single Archie ever made.
No.
I'm going to start here, and I'm going to continue.
And the sad truth is that Archie's probably one of the last few comics in which you can do that. Because, you know, at the store, I've had so many kids wanting to get into whatever superhero comic book series or whatever. And it's one of those things, it's not like, you know, when we were coming up where you could just pick up a random issue and just go from that right. point forward. Like, you're usually reading, picking up something in the middle of a story arc. So you probably have to get the previous 3 issues and whatever comes after that. So I'd say, you know, Archie's done well for itself in that regard. So I know I'm getting ahead of myself as far as talking about predictions for 2015, but... Mm. You know, yeah, 2014, Archie Comics was something that really surprised me.
Nice. So, going back to my breakout, I would say, just to get it on the show, because I don't know where else we'd fit it in, another great Western, another beautiful art piece, Pretty Deadly.
Okay, yeah.
The art in it is unlike any other book that I've seen come out this year. Breathtaking. The story of Death's Daughter, it's just great. Really looking forward to seeing if that continues. I believe so. I think it was on a hiatus. Might yeah. start back up soon. Pretty Deadly was a pretty nice book. I mean, not to reiterate that, but yeah, I would check it out. If you're into it, it's another female lead. It's wrapped up in myth and lore. Yeah.
So you've been loving the Westerns.
You know, maybe just a lot of Westerns came out. I don't know. Maybe subconsciously I've just been picking up a lot of Westerns.
Well, I will say, I mean, you know, this year, I will say, as far as like, you know, companies I've been very pleased with, Image has been excellent this year in terms of just the sheer variety of stuff that they put out. I mean, my thing was going into 2014, I was feeling a lot of burnout from superhero comics and such. And I wanted to find... I don't even know what... I mean, I know I said I like kind of sci-fi dystopian stuff earlier, but I mean, I was just looking for something kind of action and sci-fi oriented. And, you know, if that's what you want, Image is the place for that. If you want horror, Image has got plenty of that. If you want...
I think Dark Horse has got some freakier concepts than Image when it comes to the horror game.
I won't disagree with you. Like, but, you know, Dark Horse has always, you know, had a strong horror game. I mean, you know, coming out of Hellboy and BPRD and stuff. And they've always pushed their horror comics and stuff. But, I mean, what have you got? Like, Hellboy, BPRD, The Goon, Criminal Macabre.
If you want to throw Buffy and Angel into those, kind of. There's vampires involved, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gone so far. Maybe they're fighting aliens at this point.
Well, okay. We'll talk about Dark Horse because
Does Dark Horse have the alien franchise?
Yeah, they're pushing that again. I think now this is just me speculating, but I have a strong feeling because Dark Horse lost
Star Wars.
Yeah, to Marvel. I'm sure at one point they were looking around and saying, like, hey, you know, what licenses do we still have? Because, I mean...
Sure.
And this is not a diss, but, I mean, Dark Horse has really changed into, you know, the home of licensed comics, which isn't a bad thing.
Dark Horse and IDW, sure.
Yeah, well, IDW has kind of excelled past Dark Horse in that regard. I mean, like, so much of majority of what IDW puts out is licensed stuff. There's not as much, and I mean, like I said, I don't mean that as any disrespect, because, I mean, you know, if that's your bread and butter, that's what keeps your company afloat. But, I mean, I really felt like when Dark Horse started pushing, like, the Terminator stuff again and the Aliens and Predator and Prometheus stuff, you know, that just felt to me like a reaction towards them losing Star Wars. And they're like, well, we got to kind of keep this.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hoping because they don't have that anymore, they can get back to, you know, pushing... whatever creator owned and horror stuff, like the non-licensed stuff like they did before. But I mean, so many of their, you know, past great creators have left them. I mean, Frank Miller doesn't really do anything with Dark Horse anymore. Mike Allred. I mean, that whole Legend crew that they had, I mean, those guys have just scattered all over the place. And I mean, other than like what their Comics Greatest World stuff that they're putting out, you know, I don't know what much else they have in terms of lines of books. I mean, that's just my assessment.
I'm sure they got something under their sleeve. I think certain IPs can float that company till the end of time. Same with IDW, and they own the Doctor Who series, right?
No, they lost that to Titan.
Did they really?
Yes.
Okay, IDW's done.
Well, I mean,
sell.
I mean, you know, they got some. I mean, they still got the Transformers and G.I. Joe stuff. I think they're putting out Edward Scissorhands.
With what you said about Dark Horse, could also be applied to IDW of why don't you invest more in your original IPs from comic creators, giving, you know, finding a new voice that isn't tied into pre-existing cartoons or movies and such, and really try to focus on being a comic creating company more than a continuation of a TV show long lost, you know.
And that's the IDW that I miss, because I remember, you know, I got into IDW stuff with the Ashley Wood World War Robot, and like even the art books he was doing, like Sparrow and Swallow. You know, I know Ashley Wood is starting to produce art books for them again. And I'm hoping they'll get back to the point where they're putting more stuff out and showcasing, you know, other talents and such. But yeah, that's what I want from IDW in 2015, personally.
You listening to IDW?
No. but I was going to say, I mean, getting back to the whole thing with Dark Horse and Star Wars. And I know, like I said, I'm not intimidated by no big two, but I'll talk briefly about that Star Wars teaser. It's got me kind of excited. I'm hoping that it is safe for me to like Star Wars again.
It's never not been safe.
No.
You just got to do it. I'm going through the Clone Wars animated series.
Which is a great show.
It's good. I just watch it by myself with the blinds down. Nothing wrong with that.
But the thing I'm liking is that Marvel is inheriting a more streamlined Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, granted, they're going to be reprinting some of that Dark Horse stuff as, like, under their Star Wars Legends reprint. But for the most part, I mean, all they're saying that's in canon as of now are, you know, the original episodes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and mm-hmm. this new J.J. Abrams episode 7 stuff. So it's kind of like they're not getting Star Wars with all that excess baggage of, you know, Tales of the Jedi and Star Wars Legacy and just all the novels and Shadows of the Empire and all that crap. So
Lobaka will be lost to time.
So yeah, it's like I'm looking forward to that.
It's a
simpler Star Wars.
I don't know. There's something to be said about a canon that's dates as far back as, what, 1991 is when Lucas finally opened up the floodgates to writers taking Star Wars and creating the expanded universe. I mean, that's decades worth of storytelling that people just took to and allowed to be canon for them. Characters mm-hmm. like Lobaka and Jacen and Jaina Solo and True. Anakin Solo.
True.
I mean, that's the stuff I grew up reading. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, well, scrap all that. That didn't happen. I have talked to other people about it who say, okay, Star Wars is now the new Marvel, or Star Wars is now the new DC. Star Wars has its own multiverse now.
Yeah.
Which, when I look at it that way, I guess I can't sit there and say, like, well, it's okay for DC and Marvel to have 37 different iterations of Batman and Wolverine, but mm-hmm. it's not okay for Star Wars to have 2 iterations of Luke Skywalker. It's fine, I guess. I'm just dealing with it.
I understand. But, I mean, that's what's got me excited.
Right.
I will say, you know, talking about mainstream stuff again, one thing that I really enjoyed in 2014 was, overall, I enjoyed Marvel's push with the all-new Marvel Now.
Mm-hmm.
That got me reading Marvel comics for the first time, like, since... God, when was Grant Morrison's new X-Men run? What, you remember what year that was? That was the last time I was picking up Marvel books.
Early 2000s?
Yeah. That was the last time I was picking up stuff. So, you know, I really took to Black Widow, Punisher.
I love the Black Widow series. If for nothing, Phil Noto's artwork is amazing. I got to have a brief conversation with him back in November as well, and as far as he knows, he's gonna continue putting out that book into 2015.
That's good to hear, because I was afraid he was gonna be one of those guys that, like, you know, did 6 issues, you know, you're on your own.
Yeah, well, and right now there's a big creative team switching, especially in DC.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my favorite writers and illustrators are dropping their titles and being moved to different titles,
right.
Including Jeff Lemire's Green Arrow. He's been off that for like 3 months now, and I personally feel like it went downhill.
Mm.
Where is Jeff Lemire going to go in 2015? Hawkeye. Gee. Green Arrow to Hawkeye. What a jump. but has Jeff Lemire written for Marvel before?
I don't think he has. Made his debut with
Some independent stuff.
Yeah, independent stuff. Yeah, but I mean, his main
Sweet Tooth and.
Well, I mean, like, he did what, Essex County? Mm-hmm. Was it Underwater Welder?
And before that, he did Lost Dogs, his own self-published book. That I think they.
But I didn't know he was till Sweet Tooth. That was the first time I ever heard or saw his stuff. But Well, like I said, I mean, I've liked with the all new Marvel Now stuff that, you know, Marvel made a conscious effort, you know, and this, their whole MO for the last few years has been to just throw as much stuff at the wall and see what sticks. But I like with this time, they actually, I felt like they put more effort into each of the individual books that they were kicking out there. I mean, they put out a ton of comics with, you know, female leads in them. And I like the variety of art. I like the variety in storytelling that they've had. So I've really enjoyed what they've done. But I'll say All New Marvel Now has probably been one of my favorite and least favorite things about 2014. Because, of course, with these new launches, you know, stuff gets canceled and slightly renamed, and you know, that's a new tab in the long box, you know. So now we Captain America's been the worst for it.
See, I would think how many Spider-Mans came out this year.
I mean, if you think about it, technically Spider-Man only has 3 volumes. Mm-hmm. So now I was
Ultimate and Amazing and Superior. I mean,
well, no, just Amazing Spider-Man itself. I mean, right. That's only separated into 3 volumes. That's pretty much the old, you know, Stan and Ditko stuff up until the, I think volume 2 would be, Straczynski, his run. Mm-hmm. And then now the new stuff is, would be volume 3. So, now granted, there's a lot of books, you know, per volume, but. No, Captain America, I mean, like, if you go back to, after September 11th, when they relaunched the book with John Cassidy,
right?
You remember, like, you know, there was that, then that ended, and then they started with a new number one with the Brubaker stuff, and then that ended, and there was stuff with Bucky, and then it became Captain America and Bucky, and then that ended, then there was a new Captain America, and then that's ended, and now it's all new Captain America with Sam Wilson, the Falcon, as Captain America. So, and that book's just been terrible for how many times it's just got canceled and rebooted. And I mean, I understand that's just sort of what comes with the territory, but you know,
next year, Wolverine Captain America, the all new Captain America.
I'm still holding out my theory of Wolverine being dead. He's coming back when Age of Apocalypse comes out. That's
that would make sense.
Yeah, that's what I think.
So, were there any non-Marvel DC books that missed the mark or just didn't work for you this year?
I can't really think of anything I didn't enjoy. I think the only book that I've been picking up, I'm still buying and I'm waiting. I'm going to read it to its conclusion, but I was kind of disappointed by was Grant Morrison's Annihilator.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that because I just dropped that one as well.
Really?
And I just read a review of like how it is one of the greatest books of 2014 and Grant Morrison's at his peak and I think it's Jacques is the illustrator on that.
No, it's Fraser Irving.
That's right.
Yeah.
How the art, and the art is amazing.
It is.
Definitely top notch, but there's just something about it I just didn't care. Like, you don't like the character. If you're not into the character, you're not gonna... Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love the artwork. And I mean, this is the thing I wanted from Grant Morrison after, you know, he left DC. And was like, you know, I'm gonna start doing more independent stuff. I was like, yeah.
And drugs.
Yeah. Well, I was like, you know, get back to the stuff you were doing when you were working on Invisibles.
Right.
Just, you know, give me some weird genre comics that isn't necessarily superhero oriented, but I don't know if the mistake was just buying the individual issues of Annihilator, if I should have just trade waited on that. I know with his next miniseries Nameless that he's putting out for Image, I'm going to wait on the trade because I feel like that might just read better for me as opposed to, like, you know, getting it episodically month by month. And I don't think Annihilator is a bad book, but
there's a lot of good things going for it.
And I love Grant Morrison. Yeah. I buy everything he does. But that was one that has been disappointing me. I think now one book that really surprised me and how much I loved it and how great it is in general, Starlight by Mark Miller and Goran Parlov.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll tell everybody who's listening, all 20 of you, that if you've not read that book, you need to. That's sort of Mark Miller's homage, his love story to old pulp era sci-fi adventure characters like Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon.
Right.
He's described the book as being, I think he said Unforgiven meets Buzz Lightyear, or I would say Flash Gordon meets Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's sort of like a character who really is a Flash Gordon knockoff, kind of being called back into action in his golden years and having to resave the world that he saved once before in his youth. But the artwork on the Goran Parlov stuff is fantastic. I mean, it's Parlov style, but it's very much a strong homage to, I think, Mobius and Winsor McCay, who did Little Nemo
right.
in Slumberland. But that was a fantastic book that really took me by surprise. And tonally, it's also different from Altmore. I think that guy has turned a corner. Because, you know, you think about how so many of his stories before were just like, you know, piss in your eye. You know, here's your superheroes. They suck. And, you know, like, he's really turned, like, the ending of Kick-Ass 3 and this, like, it was far more upbeat than I expected from that guy. And just fantastic stuff.
Nice. You know, so. For me, I had to drop, because I just kind of got done with it, was East of West.
Really?
Jonathan Hickman. I can't even say for a definitive reason other than there was so much going on that when you're reading it month to month, you just forget. And every month I just felt like I had to either re-educate myself on everything that happened in the months leading up or just try to get through the issue and hope that I remembered later. It just wasn't happening for me. So maybe it would be better if it was a trade paperback read opposed to picking up the individual issues. The art style is still amazing. Once again, it's another Western. I didn't even notice until you pointed out. I read a lot of Western style books. I did not realize
that. I was waiting for you to mention East to West.
Yeah, well, and I didn't read it. I think I read a couple issues at the beginning of the year, and then I just dropped it. I was pretty much done with it. So. Yeah. So, with that being said, and you've kind of touched on to this, what are your predictions for 2015? Things people should check out? Things that people should not check out? Things that, you know... I mean, check out anything you want, obviously, but...
I can only speak to what I'm going to mess with and what I'm not going to mess with in 2015. 2015, I am going to steer clear, for the most part, of Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know me, I hate crossovers. I'm not... Convergence, like, it's like, what, 88 issues in total? And it's supposed to be for the 2 months while DC's moving from New York to Burbank, like... I'm not messing with that. You know, a lot of folks I know are just kind of hoping that with this thing going on that somehow they're going to reboot the DC universe and go back to the pre-52.
That's right. They're doing something that can... Explain to the listeners what is going on with DC, because I remember reading something, and it all escapes me now, of like what they're doing next year, that it's going to be 9 weeks or 9 months.
It's going to be for the 2 months, like, April and May.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting out, like, 40-something different miniseries, each one of them 2 issues. And basically, it's almost a bigger scale version of that, what was that miniseries they did? Countdown Arena, where it was like, you know, Wonder Woman from New Frontier versus Wonder Woman from the Amazonia Elseworlds book. So, like, yeah, it's going to be, like, all these different eras and multiverse versions of DC characters encountering one another. So you'll have, like, Flashpoint, Aquaman running into pre-52 Batgirl.
I remember reading that, and some people got excited about this idea, and I just went, this just seems muddy to me.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And I mean, there might be some good stuff. I know, like, I think Jeff Parker is working on something along with, Evan Shaner. Like, I want to say they're doing a Captain Marvel Shazam story. And that looks good. I mean, there are going to be some gems out of it. But for the most part, man, like, it's just too much. Now, I will now say this on the flip side, though. I'm curious. I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to buy it, but I am curious about what Marvel's going to do with Secret Wars because they're revisiting so much. And it sounds hypocritical, I know, but, you know, they're going back to stuff like Planet Hulk, Civil War, Old Man Logan.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people are speculating that they might be rebooting the Marvel Universe, which really doesn't make any sense to me, but But for the most part, man, yeah, I'm trying to steer clear of crossovers. The only title that I know is launching in 2015 that I'm looking forward to is Suiciders by Lee Bermejo from Vertigo. I'm wanting to check that out because I like Lee Bermejo's art. He's not really well known for doing ongoing series. You know, he mostly does mini series. You know, big Wildstorm artist back, you know, at one time. Mostly does, you know, cover stuff. So it'll be nice to see him doing something.
Right.
Interior wise.
Yeah, I don't really know what's coming down the pike for 2015. There's certain, I guess, rules or things that I'm going to change about the way I read comics. Mm. Maybe I'm going to stop following characters and really start following creative teams, especially with the disappointments of the last couple months, and try to make more of an effort to do that.
That's always been my thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, follow who you like.
But if you like Batman, you like Batman.
I like Batman, but I like Batman even more when certain people I enjoy are working
exactly.
on. You know.
Exactly. I don't know. It's really just I want to continue the books that I'm reading, experiment with some new books that I haven't checked out before. You know, anything that really just sticks out on the shelf, you know, for me and for everyone out there. It's $3, $4. Give it a chance. A lot of art, a lot of good stories. You never know what you're going to miss out on by passing it up. So you could pick up the next Walking Dead number one, you know, for $4, you know, in September of 2015. You never know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to whatever new stuff Image has coming down the pipe.
I think Image is you know, I think IDW is going to continue putting out the same kind of... Your TV shows never die. They continue living on through us kind of titles.
I'm holding out for the Manimal comic.
There you go. I want to see Animorphs, the comic. Why not? Where's Animorphs?
Automan.
Automan. Sequest.
Sequest DSV?
Sure.
With Jonathan Brandis and Roy Scheider.
And then Talking Dolphin.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, because that show got canceled. Dark Angel.
That would be... Dark Angel would be good. Yes. What was the Jennifer... Alias.
Alias, okay. Yeah.
I think Alias did
have... Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, Alias with her, and then what? There was the Alias comic by Bendis, which I guess TV show-wise is going to become, what, a.k.a. Jessica Jones. Which I'm excited for because it's starring Kristen Ritter. And you all know how much I love Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. So I'm going to pretend that AKA Jessica Jones is a spinoff of Don't Trust the Bee. Like there she gets go. Hardened and becomes a private eye.
Yeah, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this episode of No Big 2 NB2. Thanks again to Sequoia.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Any last words of wisdom before we sign off for the first episode of 2015?
Any more words of wisdom? I've really enjoyed being a frequent guest here.
Dude, you're practically the co-host. I mean, you are the co-host. You've kept...
If I'm a co-host, why don't I have headphones?
Okay, first off, because the guys at Damn Art Majors have been complaining about this. How many headphone jacks do you see in this thing? Only the one.
Yeah,
I only
true.
Got one. So...
I'm just gonna start. I'm just gonna everybody come in headphones. With unplugged everybody, headphones.
That's what I'm gonna do for everyone. Everybody gets unplugged headphones just so they feel official. But no, you've totally helped me keep this show going because otherwise, without you, I probably would have dropped it by now. So we did get a little mention in the News and Observer. I guess it would have been two Sundays ago by the time this airs. That was great, and I'm really appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in, you know, when we have a new episode up. And bigger, better things in 2015 for us and the show.
Yes.
Yeah, and for you guys, the listeners.
Yes, thank you for listening. Spread the word. Yeah, that's the big thing. We need to spread the word about No Big 2.
throw up some reviews on iTunes, you know, yes. tweet at us and
contact us. Yeah. Give us ideas. You know, I've actually had a few folks approach me about things that they would like for us to discuss.
There is an email you can reach out to us. It's literally nobig2@gmail.com. I guess I need to be better about letting you guys know about that.
So. Is that no big
Maybe two? That's my New Year's resolution.
Is the
It is T-W-O.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I spelt it out that time.
Good.
Yeah. So nobig2@gmail.com. Tell us what you're thinking. All right. Have a good one.
Take care.